listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
All right. Welcome on in. It is the Forza Podcast. I am your host, Marsh. As always, I am joined by my co-host and wonderful producer, Jordan. Jordan, how are we?
I'm doing good. What's up, guys?
Nothing much. And we also have Brad from Twitter on, reoccurring guest, friend of the program. Brad, what is up?
What's going on again, fellas? How are we doing tonight?
We are great. I mean, spring practice, it's underway. We just wrapped up day three. It's 3:05 day. Like, we just got a lot going on. We got a huge show tonight. But before we get into any interviews, just wanted to just recap what's been going on. Just two quick little things. First thing, I think it was Monday. Yeah, it was Monday. Canes got a huge commitment. Michael McLaughlin, offensive tackle, four-star out of Broward County. Brad, what do you think about that?
Dude, I mean, the kid was, 6'7", 260-something pounds. I think a year or two ago at Paradise Camp, he was just starting to figure out he was an offensive lineman, and you could tell the way he was standing, his technique was a little off, but he had definitely the size to grow into it, and I think now he's starting to get a little bit more O-lineman practice under his belt. I mean, he had offers from Florida State, West Virginia, Ole Miss, Virginia, and a couple other ACC schools, but I think with Coach Justice, he's going to fill out real well, and hopefully he brings a little bit more other guys with him.
Absolutely. And I know he moved from Indiana before last year, I think. And I mean, yeah, like I said, four-star offensive tackle, and he's going to get more offers as his senior season goes on. But he's a guy that I was really, really hyped on and I'm still hyped on. Jordan, you got any thoughts on him?
Dude, I've just seen his camp videos, and dude, for a 255-pound offensive tackle, good gracious, man. He's just throwing people around. Like, I'm hyped. Because once he gets, I mean, like you guys were saying, once he gets in a college strength and conditioning program, he's going to be a monster. So,
he just fits that type for Rhett Lashley, offensive tackle, you know, not too, I mean, he's 6'7", but like not too big, you know, weight wise. He's going to be, you know, be able to move athletically, keep up with that up tempo offense. And so that was a great way to get the week started, spring practice started. I know we had some guys there today at practice, some recruits. We'll get to that a little bit later. But some kind of sad news, and I don't know if it's that surprising. Some people saw it coming. I kind of saw it coming. But Michael Irvin II transferring from Miami. And, you know, when you're a part of perhaps the best tight end unit and group of tight ends in the entire country, it's hard. I mean, you know, he only has 1 year left to God. And so I think it's kind of crazy. He decided to transfer on his dad's birthday, the legend Michael Irvin, the playmaker. It was his birthday today, and his son decides to transfer that day. Jordan, what are you thinking? Are you sad, or do you understand, or what's going on?
It was expected, man. Like, I mean, if you remember what I was saying about our tight ends group last episode, I was saying that, like, I kind of expected, dude, I'm drawing a blank. Is it Larry Hodges? Is that his name?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was expecting Hodges to kind of jump him, and I've heard good things about Mamorelli. So I was, you know, I just didn't really see Irvin getting a shot. And so, you know, I appreciate that he's worked hard here, and like I hope he gets a good opportunity. I wish him the best, but this isn't surprising to me at all. I didn't really expect him to be, you know, to really get an opportunity this year. And so, you know, it's a smart business decision. Like, he's I hear he's talented, but you know, I'm just hoping the best for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's from a great gene pool, so he's definitely talented. He has great hands. I remember he had a great touchdown catch in the spring game last year from Tate. And honestly, he's an Irvin's. I just hope him the very best for his last year, and he goes somewhere that, you know, he can prove himself. Brad, you got any thoughts on that?
I mean, I couldn't agree more with both of you. I mean, like you said, not only is he an Irvin, but he's a St. Thomas Aquinas guy. We all know St. Thomas Aquinas guys usually pan out not only in college but on the pro level. So, I mean, he definitely has the talent. It sucks that we have so much talent to where we can't utilize him. Hopefully he goes to another school and balls out somewhere to a guy like Gus Edwards did a couple years ago. But as we all know, man, I think Blades might be the only one as far as the family tree, as far as father-son duos. You had, Ray Lewis's kid who didn't end up panning out a while back at corner or linebacker, I believe. And then you got Irvin as well. Highsmith as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Blades Jr. is holding it down.
Yeah, Blades is definitely holding it down, like you said.
Absolutely.
Oh, and dude, Vincent Testaverde, how about that?
Oh yeah.
Did we have Testaverde's son?
We did.
Yeah, he transferred from Texas Tech and played here for like 2 years and then ended up going somewhere else.
Dude, he was like he lived for like that third or fourth string. He was always like the practice quarterback for sure.
Yeah.
It's hard to, you know, especially if you're a Testaverde when your dad was a Heisman Trophy winner, it's hard to live up to that. But those are the two biggest things that we wanted to cover before we get into our interviews tonight. Jordan, who are we talking to tonight?
Well, one thing before we get to the interview, I just want to elephant in the room was I just got thrashed on Twitter. Was it last night or two nights ago, man? I even had DJ like retweet. Tell you how horrible my take was. Jeez, man, that was rough, but it was I'm still laughing.
It's about the jerseys.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was color unis.
You know, Jordan, we don't disagree on a lot, but you know how I feel about those smoke uniforms. Oh, dude,
I love them, bro. And I don't dislike our Miami Knights jerseys, but I think everyone has them, so they don't really do it for me, you know? It's like...
Miami Knights are just so clean. Like when I think of the Miami Knight jerseys, I think of that Va-Tech game. I think of freaking Jaquan getting that one-handed pick, or I think about the UNC game where we had about 19 pick sixes. I think Joe Jackson running back an interception. And yeah. when I see the smoke jerseys, I think us giving up about a 25-point lead to FSU.
For sure, man. It was so disappointing not seeing those jerseys at all last season. There was like two games where I was like, all right, we got to have the all black jerseys tonight. And then, of course, nothing happened. Yeah. So I'm definitely expecting the all black unis to come back at least twice this year.
I think the October 24th game against UNC, I think that could be a primetime game if both teams live up to hype. And that would be a perfect opportunity to do it.
Yeah, I agree, man. Well, so let's get into the interviews. We got Cliff Dubois. It's CD14 or at Cliff311. You know, he's a big part of Canes fam on Twitter, so I'm gonna patch him in right now. I'll talk more about what he's up to when we get him on here.
Let's do it.
Let's go. Hello,
Cliff. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Hey, Jordan. What's up, brother? How you doing? I'm doing great.
Good. Hey, you're here live on the Forza podcast with Brad Tejeda and Marsh.
Oh, what's up?
What's going on, Cliff? Glad to have you on, brother.
Oh, heck yeah.
Cliff, what's up, fam? How you doing, man?
Good, bro. Everything's great.
Cool. We're glad to have you on, bro. We're really pumped. So just telling the listeners a little bit, like you were at spring practice today, correct?
Yes, sir.
Cool. So that's why we're having you on, is we want that scoop, dude. We want to know what's going on.
Yeah. All my friends, everyone's hit me up. Oh, how'd it go? How's the offense? How's this and that? And, you know, I was pleased with, you know, day three of practice. It looked pretty good for third day of practice.
All right. Well, this first question I'm going to lead off with is a little bit to prime the engine, okay? So first things first, I want you to give me your three players that pop the most. Like, let's get hyped.
All right. For me today, from what I saw, I mean, Xavier Restrepo, the X-Man, I mean, he killed it out there. I don't think we have anybody on the team like him right now. He's just a little shifty dude that's kind of like a Wes Welker that finds little holes. He sits down and, you know, King and the other quarterbacks were getting the ball today. He probably had 6-7 catches today, you know, on the first offense and defense. I was really impressed with him, number one. King would probably be number two for sure. He's a little shorter than I thought he would be, but let me tell you, he has nice touch on the ball. He has, you know, pretty strong arm. I mean, he runs like a cheetah. So I mean, definitely him. I don't think we've had a quarterback like him in a long, long time. So that's great. And third would probably be Keyshawn Smith. I mean, from what I've been hearing for the first 2 days, he was killing it. And today he played well again. He just looks like he's ready to play already. So that those guys impressed me for sure. And I'll give you a bonus. I mean, the new hires, I'm a big fan of the three new coaches, you know, on the and off Lashley, the you know, offensive line coach. I think he was, you know, on these guys like crazy. And especially Coach Likens with the wide receivers. He wouldn't let them, you know, be off any little, you know, inch. He was on top of them, hitting the ball out of their hand, scoop it up and score. And I mean, it was pretty wild. I didn't see that from Stubblefield at all when I was there last year. So
that's awesome. I need to go take a cold shower now. That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Dude, that's just great to hear, especially about Keyshawn Smith, because Jordan and I mean, we're huge fans of Keyshawn Smith. We were pumped when he committed. And I wanted to ask you about the receivers as a whole, because that's a position that's been debated very heavily on this show and on the timeline. So what were your thoughts on the receivers, on Wiggins, Pope, all those guys?
That's the group that I was most excited about today. I think that they as a whole, they look great. So I really think that the freshman wide receivers that we have, I think we got a really, really good group of receivers that, you know, all do little different things. But let me tell you, I think this is going to be a special wide receiver group. I was really, really pleased with that. I thought Pope did a pretty good job today. I know the first couple of days they were saying that he was, you know, not as good as he should be yet. But I think today he looked pretty decent. Wiggins made a really nice catch today that I was impressed with. So, and even a guy like Marshall Few, you know, that was a former walk-on and now he got a scholarship last year. He must have had three or four nice catches out there when offense and defense were. And I was really impressed with that. Kid has great hands. He scooped one that was like off a blade of grass. It was almost hitting the ground. It's kind of a bad throw by, I think it was Perry. And he kind of just scooped it up and didn't touch the ground at all and caught it and took off. And I was impressed with that. So I'm really, really impressed with these young wide receivers. So, you know, so man, that's my opinion. I thought, like I said, Pope played pretty well today to me. So I was really happy with that, because he needs to have a breakout year for sure.
Man, Cliff, that, especially about Pope, man, that sounds good. Cause like you said, I heard a lot about these young receivers that we just added on. But someone like Pope, he definitely needs to have a big year this year. He has to step up. But hearing all these good things about the offense, what I would like to know is, who's a player on defense that stood out to you? And then also, if there's one position group out of the whole team right now that you think might need the biggest need to step up, what is it?
I would probably say that for the biggest need to step up, probably the cornerbacks. I would probably backs for sure. But out of that, sorry, somebody just knocked on my door. The cornerbacks for sure need to step up. But you know, I thought like somebody like Couch and Williams, I thought they played well today. So that was a positive, because I know we're so thin on the at cornerback that we're all worried about that a little bit. We only have, you know, two guys that played a lot last year, and we have some other guys that, you know, aren't proven. But I was impressed with what they did. But what was the other question, Brad? I'm sorry.
Name a player on defense that stood out to you.
I would say Huff today. I thought he came up, and I mean, if they were in pads, he would have drilled a couple of the running backs and one of the receivers coming off the middle. I thought he impressed me. I would say on the defense that I saw today.
Oh man, I'm smirking like the Grinch right now.
Yeah, and let me tell you, some of the other kids that were just walking around that I saw, like Chaney and stuff like that. Boy, that kid is put together, dude. He looks like a grown man already. Let me tell you.
Hoo-hoo.
You know, some of the other linebackers that were walking around, I was like, man, there's some, you know, some big kids. So I was impressed with that. As well.
Yeah, man. Feely's putting in the work for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. I mean, Jalen Phillips, Phillips put on 40 pounds. I mean, he looks like an animal right now. So, you know, I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, Feely's a monster, bro. He puts these kids through a lot of stuff, let me tell you. And I was really impressed also with the, you know, how quick the offense was, you know, today. And they were running plays, you know, 7, 8 to 10 seconds, you know, 7 to 10 seconds, you know, apart. That's how quick it was. They couldn't get the ball down quick enough, and they were already ready running through plays. So, you know, all these teams up north that we play are going to be gassed, let me tell you. So.
Love to hear it, bro.
We really need
– I've been worried about our linebacking core all off season just because the, you know, the injury concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that Huff is looking good, like, man, that's a shot in the
bro, mouth. He stood out probably the most today to me. I thought like I said, if they were in real pads, he would have put some licks on people.
That's great news, bro, because, yeah. I mean, I feel pretty comfortable with McLeod holding down one of those spots, but, man, that other spot is just
– yeah.
It's been keeping me up at night, dude. I'm just staring at the ceiling like, you know, it's like, man, is this Wayne and Steed's year or what's going to happen? Like, what?
No, man, you were ready to buy the Rigoni jersey. That's what it was.
No, for sure. I mean, we're just inexperienced there, but I think we're going to be a lot faster there, which is good. But, you know, you can't – experience is a lot to do with it, especially, you know, we're replacing two guys that started 4 years for us with, you know,
yeah.
You know, McLeod is, you know, played enough. He should be fine. But the other spot's going to be somebody that's hasn't had barely any experience. So,
yeah.
Facts.
So.
All right. So my next question, we talked a little bit earlier today on the phone. And, dude, some of the stuff you said about Jalen Knight and Rooster. So hyped. And I know that you're going to get Marsh hyped because Marsh loves Jalen Knight even more than I do. I love him.
Hey, let me tell you, I was shocked how big he was in person. I mean, he's got big, thick legs, and that kid is, like, full tilt all the time, dude. He's never, like, you know, wasting time. He's running. He's sprinting to, you know, different things. I mean, he's just you could tell he's a worker, bro. And I listen to all the, you know, guys' other podcasts and stuff, and I know how much he loves Rooster, Marsh. But let me tell you, I think he's going to be running back, too, when this thing's, you know – settle down and depth charts come out, I could see him definitely be running back too, because he that kid's a stud, dude. I really like him a lot.
Bro, that is like music to my ears. Holy cow. And that's honestly one of the questions I was going to ask. But yeah, it honestly doesn't surprise me that much, because, I mean, I've written articles and I've talked about how I think he's going to be the second guy in the depth chart. I wanted to ask you also about the first guy in the depth chart, Cam Harris, because – so much emphasis is being put on Knighton and Chaney and, you know, our running back position. I feel like not enough people are talking about Cam. I really think he's going to have a good year. What did you see from him today?
Let me tell you, he had a couple runs today that, I mean, he juked, you know, because today they, you know, since they weren't in pads, they're just doing like, two-hand touch, or they would grab a guy and just hold him instead of, you know, tackling him. Bro, he made, you know, a couple guys miss with nasty moves, and, you know, he looks like he's moving a lot better. He looks like he's quicker. I mean, he looks like a big muscle, dude. His calves are huge. He's just a big dude, bro. And he's for sure, he's going to be our starter, God willing, an injury or something like that. That dude right there is just, you know, RB1. I think he's going to have a huge year, dude. Big time year for Cam. And I'm happy because he's a great kid and a hard worker too, you know.
Yeah, man, all that stuff I'm hearing, man, it's sounding, especially Jalen Knighton, the way you're describing him, and obviously what we've seen off the tape in high school, he's starting to give me the memories of Travis Homer coming behind Mark Walton that like first year before he became a starter, where like you could tell Travis Homer was like all over the field because of his hard work, his dedication. I mean, the guy was yoked already coming in just because of all the time he put in the weight room, and he knew the playbook in and out on special teams, on offense, whether he was pass protecting, running the ball behind Mark Walton. And that seems like something that Jalen Knighton might be able to fit in behind Cam Harris.
Yeah, face. You know, that's a good comparison, because, you know, Homer ran really hard and stuff too, and he was, you know, a good catcher of the football in the backfield and stuff like that. And I think Knighton's going to be the same way with that. He looks like he was catching the ball smoothly and cleanly and stuff. And let me tell you, I was shocked at how big the kid's legs were. That kid right there is going to break a lot of tackles.
Oh,
you know, he's not going down with one, like a little, you know, wussy hit or something. That dude is running through you and keep going. He's full tilt, man. I haven't seen that, you know, in a while from a young kid like him. I'm telling you, I am so impressed with all the this freshman class could be one of our best in a while. Believe me, I was shocked.
I was just about to say that, man. Like this freshman class, not only are they holding up the standards, but you could tell they're wanting to put in all the time on and off the field. I mean, based off these interviews from Will Mallory and a couple of these other guys, it's like before and after practice, these guys like X-Man and a couple of these guys are on the jug machines or catching balls from the quarterbacks, putting in that extra time. I mean, between that and Will Mallory saying that you can learn the formation in 15 minutes, I mean, it seems like we're going to be fast-paced with a tempo. And just seeing the smiles on all these guys' faces after practice, they seem like they really enjoy being a Hurricane again. Wasn't all uptight or anything like that, especially with – you could see the difference between Dan Enos and Rhett Lashley in interviews. I mean, one is just super nitpicky and negative at times where, I mean, with Rhett, man, he's super upbeat and always saying what could be better, but he's positive at the same time.
Yeah. I think I saw that out there as well. You know, last year when I went out there the couple times, you know, Enos was kind of, you know, he was kind of quiet. He wasn't really, you know, saying much. Bro, Rhett is out there like almost running next to the guy being, come on, be better. Let's go. You know, hit the man in stride or give him a chance. Just, you know, give him a chance. Put it where it needs to be. Give the wide receiver a chance and stuff. I never heard any of that from Enos last year. And I loved, you know, to me, the best. I love all three new hires for the coaching staff. But Coach Likens, I'm telling you, I was so – bro, that guy is – you know, he is attention to detail kind of guy. You could tell. Bro, somebody fumbled – you know, somebody got stripped or something. And he, you know, he threw the ball back another 5-10 yards. And he's like, listen, you know, go pick it up. Scoop and score. And he's like, get across the line. He was running with him and stuff. I never saw Stubblefield do any of that either. So, and I think the kind of kids I don't know, you know, with Stubblefield, I think he was, you know, I think the kids got away with a lot with him. I think you're going to see a whole different animal at wide receiver, man.
Yeah. You got me pumped, man.
Yeah. You know, and another thing before I forget, I don't want to forget this because I was really impressed with this. After practice today in the indoor facility, you know, Bubba Bolden was doing drills and stuff, and I'm telling you, he looked ready to go. He's gonna be ready, bro. Barring a setback, God willing, but that dude right there is ready. He was running, doing cutting. I was like, man, this dude looks like he could be out there right now. So maybe it's just precautionary. He's not out there now, but I was impressed with that.
I saw Stubblefield out recruiting, wearing some Miami gear. You think he knows that we let him go yet?
No, I don't. Bro, I saw it too. He's at Penn State with a Penn State recruit with a Hurricane belt. Bro.
Yeah, dude, I know.
Bro, that guy made enough money. I think he'd be able to buy another belt.
I was gonna ask you if he was like standing outside the practice facility wondering why his code didn't get him in anymore.
if I would have saw him, I would have told him, oh, the other door is open.
Go right
what's
back,
more
bro.
Fun? What's more funnier, that or Dan Enos getting hired as a running backs coach for Cincinnati?
The QB Whisperer. Now he's a running back coach.
QB Whisperer.
Now he's a running back coach. Go figure. So, I mean, it's I was. Let me tell you, I was impressed. Even like a kid like Tyler Van Dyke, bro, the kid's a monster. Let me tell you, he's so much bigger than all the other QBs. He looks like he's, you know, 30, and the rest of the guys are like 15.
Really?
So, yeah, Van Dyke. And let me tell you, he was running from, like, drill to drill, and he was moving. Let me tell you. He was running. Like, he looks like he moves a lot better than I thought he did. Let me tell you. And he throws a nice ball. He has a big arm. I was impressed with him, too. I thought he did pretty well.
So, piggybacking on that, I know it's super early and a lot of things will change, but – do you have any idea, like, do you think he has a shot at QB2? Is there anyone setting himself apart, or, you know, you think Van Dyke has a shot at that, or is it too early for him?
I think, like, I don't know. That's tough, dude. I don't know. I think, I mean, as QB2, I think, you know, I think this offense is good for Perry, so I think it would probably be him. He's got, you know, more experience and stuff, but let me tell you, Van Dyke is put together like, you know, a grown man compared to the rest of the quarterbacks. I mean, he looks the part already. Like, if he walked in the room, he'd be like, oh, no, that's a QB. You know, some of these other guys are wide receivers or running backs. But Van Dyke, you know, is a big dude. And hopefully, you know, like I said, King, you know, does his thing this year. And hopefully next year it could be Van Dyke's, you know, turn up. But we'll see. I don't know about QB2 yet this year. We'll see.
Okay.
Cool. I mean, that's
a good question, though.
Freaking, like, when, like, even hearing him talk, he sounds like a 30-year-old Van Dyke.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. Here. So you were, I think you said, like, you went to a practice last year, and I know that, was it the Virginia Tech game that you were sitting behind me?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, you were obviously, you saw me in all my misery that game. But, I wanted to ask you, is there a big difference in just, like, the feeling around Greentree and the facility? Like, what's the feeling like? Is it confident? Is it still, like, you know, skeptical? Or what, like, how did you feel coming away from the practice?
Well, you know, I was there when I went to a couple practices in the spring when Rick was there. And then, you know, I went to this new one. And I just – this year feels like, you know – I know for a fact, for sure, that the team is more bonded, and, you know, I know for sure that they've done, you know, a bunch of things already this, you know, since January together as a team, going to different things, doing different things together. So I'm really impressed with that. And it, I mean, I talked to a couple, you know, different, you know, coaches out there today and some people that were at, you know, all three practices and stuff. And they were saying that it's different since they've been, you know, with the new coaches. And, you know, I think it's this year is just, you know, I don't know if it's with, you know, the new coaches, maybe some of this young freshman class that, you know, they're out to take people's spot. It looks like it doesn't look like they're saying, oh, let me learn from Pope or let me learn from, you know, McLeod. They look like they're out ready to, you know, take spots. They don't care. They're all out there like busting it and they're ready to go. So I talked to one of the recruits who was there, and I said, oh, well, how do you like it, you know, last year compared to this year? He goes, no, it's different, way different this year. So I thought that was really good, you know, and, you know, good for us since a recruit saying that. You know, I didn't say anything to him. I just say, hey, what is the difference between last year when I saw you out here and this year? And he's like, no, it's way different, way better. So I thought that was a huge positive.
That's good to hear, bro.
Yeah. So let me tell you, if you three guys were there, you would have been pumped. I didn't want to leave. I was about ready to go in the thing and get like a smoothie from the nutritionist.
Oh man, I would have brought a sleeping bag and slept in IPF for sure. I would have asked Mars for all his gummy bears and all his gummy worms. got a couple of Jordan's Mountain Dews, and I would have got my sleeping bag.
Brad, it's funny that you said that because when I was at Publix earlier today, so I got something. I was like, hey, let me drink some Diet Mountain Dew to get ready for the show. I swear, my daughter goes, he goes, Dad, that's not keto. I go, bro, it's diet. It's sugar-free. I'm good.
You know what's hilarious, though, is I actually got a cold one in my hands right now, but waiting for the right time to open it up.
I definitely have a bag of candy in my lap right now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. Let's stop this real quick. Yeah, so we got that going.
That's awesome. Yeah, but let me tell you, today, it said it was 90 degrees out, but the little thing is 95 degrees on the field. It was so hot on Greentree. They stayed out there. They stayed out there from like 8:15 this morning to like 11:15, 11:30, whatever it was. It was so hot out there. I mean, I got a sunburn.
Hey, Cliff, man, last question for you, just to get the fans a little more hype, man. You touched on his name a little bit, and I believe we've seen a lot of his pictures on the timeline on Twitter today. But what was your thoughts on Jalen Phillips?
Like I said, he's a lot bigger than when I saw him last year. I mean, he doesn't even look the same. I mean, 40 pounds, and it looks like it's, you know, 39 of its muscle. So, I mean, he looked good. I'm sure he's a little bit, I mean, he hasn't played football in almost a year and a half, 2 years. So he looked like maybe a little bit out of shape, but I mean, he looked fine to me. I don't think he did anything, you know, great, but I didn't think he looked bad either. So I think he's still, you know, this spring practice, I'm glad that he's practicing now. So he got this spring under his belt, and then hopefully during the season, when the season starts up, he should be, you know, ready to go, right, you know,
with those other two studs that we already have there, you know, along with, you know, some of the other guys, you know, Harvey and these guys, I mean, I think our defensive line is going to be disgusting.
Oh, yeah, man.
I'm really pumped about that. Oh, yeah, bro. Those, let me tell you, Gregory Rosario, I mean, that kid, you just walk by and he's like, well, to me, I'm 5'9", 5'10". He looks like he's 6'10". I mean, he's huge, dude. That kid's a freak, let me tell you.
Love it, bro. I love it. All right, so let's move on to our next guest. We want you to stay on the line, though, because it's a family connection. We're giving your nephew a call, Steven Ortiz. What is he like?
Yes, sir.
Corner?
Yeah, he's a cornerback, probably a nickel corner. So. Yeah. In a college for sure, but he plays safety. He plays all, you know, he could play it all. Let me tell you, my family's so proud of him because, you know, he works so hard. Let me tell you, I don't think there's another kid in this country, not because he's my nephew, believe me, but there's not a kid in this country that works harder than he does.
I love it, bro.
Four stars. Let us just clarify. Hey, the kid's an absolute stud, 4-star cornerback, and we've all been hyped on him for a while. He's very hard worker, and I mean, your family should be proud. Kid's a stud.
Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Dude, Kane's fam absolutely loves him.
No. Yeah, I know that. I know for sure that when Rump had called him and my brother-in-law, he told him, he's like, man, I don't know what you guys are doing or what's going on with little Steven, but he has a Canes following like no other down here. He's like a huge, you know, huge part of the, you know, Canes football down here. Everybody loves him on, you know, media. Everywhere I go, I hear his name. So I'm like, all right, Canes fam is definitely legit.
There was definitely a day or two on social media where Steven Ortiz Jr. was trending just as much as the coronavirus.
All right. Well, next time I love college, just tell him to actually watch the tape and he'll get it.
So yeah, exactly.
I have a feeling he hasn't even watched the tape yet. He must not. But anyways, yeah. I'm going to dial up Steven right now, so give me just a second.
All right, cool.
Steven, what's up, bro? You there?
Hey, what's up? I just got home.
Hey, man. So this is Jordan from the Fours Up podcast. We got Marsh on here. We got Brad Tejeda, and we got your Uncle Cliff.
Yeah, what's good?
What's going on, man?
I'm chilling. How's y'all day?
Dude, we're doing good. We're hyped from just hearing all the good things about spring ball. We're hyped to have you on. You know, it's a good day. It's 3:05 day. It's March 5th, so it's a good day, man.
Yeah, I heard about it. Everybody's posting it on Instagram now.
Yeah.
Hello.
So, first thing I want to get into is would you mind giving us a little history? I know that you got some family from South Florida. You know, you being an Arizona prospect, I think there might be some people that are missing the draw to Miami for you. So just tell us about your family and your ties to South Florida, if you would.
Yeah, my ties are pretty much my family out there, pretty much. I've been a Miami fan since the sixth grade. I've been to their campus. They showed me around. Ever since then, I just love the school ever since. So they've just been my dream school. Been trying to get there, get the offer. Probably commit there. They've been my dream school for a long time. And then my family, they really big Canes fans out there, like ride or die. My Uncle Cliff, D.B. Mahdi, my two cousins, Connor and Maddie, they're some ride or die Canes fan out there. And I love to be around that environment. And then that's it pretty much.
I mean, that's awesome to hear, Steven. And
also, like, the fan base showed me a lot of love right now. And I think one thing that make him really happy is me get that offer from Miami, which made me – I lucky would cry. I'm not going to lie, because that's my dream school.
Dude, that's going to make you cry, bro.
Dude, that's –
You're telling me.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. And I was just about to say, Steven, that, yeah, the Canes fam definitely they love you, and they're definitely aware of, you know, of your talents as well. And I know that you just went to Vegas for a 7-on-7 tournament. How did that go?
It went good. It was a little rainy the first day, but you know me, I love the rain, and I love any kind of weather, I play in any weather. But the only thing, the thing I love about Florida, the same thing as Arizona, but it's like humid. But I could deal with the heat and the rain and all that, and I never will be alone. But the Vegas tournament, it went good. I loved it out there. I love playing with my guys from FSP.
How'd your team perform?
We did good. We lost in the quarterfinals because of the refs. Yeah. We shouldn't have put the game in the ref's hands. We should have won off the back.
Yeah. Steven, man, what's going on, man? It's Brad, friend of your Uncle Cliff. I'm gonna actually come see you play up in Tampa in a couple weeks for your 7-on-7. But based off your film, man, and the way you talk, your demeanor, you definitely have that dog in you, man. You're a hard worker. I think the biggest thing that pops out about you is, like your uncle said, man, you're a grinder. You remind me a lot of Trey's and Bandy, just maybe an inch or two taller, man. You got all the skill set. But what I would like to know is from you is what's the one thing you would like to work on the most?
The most? To back what you just said about you going to Tampa, I'm going to give you a performance to come watch. Like, I'm gonna make you love the watching me. But work on the most, probably my technique at nickel position, because that's what I want to play in college. So I just want to focus more on nickel more than anything. But if the coach wants me to play corner and safety, I could adjust to that easily.
Sounds good, man. I like it.
Oh, sir.
So your offer, like your list of schools that have offered you is really, really impressive. You know, you got an offer from Penn State. You have USC, Oregon, Washington. You got Nebraska and Mississippi State. Are there a small group of schools that you're leaning towards right now? Say that Miami offer doesn't come. Like, are there a favorite? Are there a few favorites already?
No, I give all the schools the same amount of energy. I don't like saying favorites and all that, but if Miami doesn't offer, I'm still going to show loyalty to the school that offered me. And, I don't have no favorites right now. I don't do the favorites game. I give everybody the same amount of love, the same amount of loyalty and everything.
Hey, I respect that, bro.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, that's a mature answer, and that's very, very respectable. Steven, is there a specific cornerback that you've always wanted to kind of looked up to or tried to style your game after his or anything like that?
I got a safety and a quarterback. I got Sean Taylor and I got Jalen Ramsey.
Okay.
Just their personality is just a dog, and I've just always been watching them ever since I grew up. And the thing that happened to Sean Taylor was tragic. So pretty much Sean Taylor made me a DB. So, like, he motivated me to be a DB because he was a hard hitter, and he was just a guy that had a lot of swag, and I don't really mess with that. And he was a dog. And Jalen Ramsey, too.
Yeah, dude, I know our listeners are going to love that answer, especially the Sean Taylor. But
yeah.
Yeah, man, just like they both said, man, you got that dog in you. I got two little questions for you. One, do you have a timeline on your commitment at all? As far as when you do want to commit?
Like is there a certain date? To September 1st, right after the dead period. So then my whole football season I could just focus on that one school only. So I don't gotta keep meeting coaches and all that. I could just stay focused on one school only. Focus on everything else.
Cool. All right. And the bigger question that I think all of us on the pod and everybody on Twitter would like to know is, we hang up this phone with you tonight, and Coach Rump and the Miami Hurricanes call you and offer you. How do you feel?
Yo, I probably would go run a marathon or something. I'd be so hyped. I'd probably have a tear come down my eye. So would my pops. And Uncle Cliff would probably, that guy, he'll probably
come to the school. Dude, I'll know when you get offered, because I know your Uncle Cliff will be calling me screaming, man. He's proud to have you as a nephew. If there's one thing I know about him.
Yeah, I love that
guy. No, I'll be crying like a baby, I'll tell you that.
For a guy that wants me to get that offer the most, is him. And I love him a lot.
For sure, man.
Love you too, brother.
Yeah, that's good to hear. So, say you do get that offer, I mean, you said that Miami's your dream school, and I'm not going to ask you if you'd, like, commit on the spot or anything like that, but we'd have a pretty good shot if we gave you that offer, right?
Yes, sir. I visited the school more than, like, three or four times. I went to the Savannah State game where y'all blew them out 77-0 or something. Yeah. I knew a couple people in the stands. I knew a couple. I love the facility tour that they gave me and everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
but bro, that's that just pumps me up, man. But Steven, what are your thoughts on Coach Manny Diaz and you know, also Coach Rumpf and how he's done developing his cornerback?
I think he's doing a good job. He put a lot of DBs in the league, like I said. And Coach Manny Diaz, from being a defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator?
Defense.
Yeah, defensive coordinator to a head coach is kind of a big deal. And he's doing a good job. And let's just see what they do this year. I think they'll do good this year, though.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all pumped about it. I mean, thanks for coming on, bro. Loved having you.
It's an honor.
I'm hoping that we can at least help you, you know, generate some buzz around your recruitment down here and hopefully light a fire under the coaching staff's booty, you know?
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it, Steven, as well, man. I'll make sure I see you in a couple weeks, man. We'll kick it with your uncle.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
All right. Thanks, Steven, and thanks, Cliff. We're gonna let you go as well.
All right, guys. You guys take it easy. Thank you guys so much for having me, bro. I'm a big fan of the show and love you guys, bro. You guys are doing a great job. Keep it up.
Hey, love you, mutual, brother.
Yes, sir.
Look forward to seeing you in a month.
Tampa.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Y'all, for sure. We'll be at the spring game all hanging out for sure, too.
Oh, yes, sir.
Cool. Good to hear.
All right, young, all right, young Savage. I'll holler at you.
All right, Cliff, man.
All right, guys. Later.
Bye.
Oh, good deal. Good stuff, man.
Yeah, dude, that was dope. Jeez, man, I really hope that we get Steven. I mean, I don't want to push too hard on the coaching staff, you know. I got to respect their job, you know, and what they're doing. But, man, it just doesn't really make sense to me, you know.
None at all.
Corner is, like, the biggest hole in our roster right now. And you got a kid that's highly rated, you know, performs well, checks every single freaking box that you can possibly come up with. And you just heard it, dude. He would cry if he gets a Miami offer. Like, what's going on, dude?
He's good. Like, that's the thing. He's good. Like, yeah. it's like vouching for just a so-so kid. Like, this kid's a four-star cornerback, great size. Like, I don't get it.
None at all, man. Dude, that work ethic, man, and he's hungry, dude. That's what I love the most about him, man. Like, you could just tell in his voice in that interview, man. He, regardless what school he goes to, he's gonna bust his ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
abso-freaking-lutely, dude. And so we got that out of the way, and Cliff was awesome too. Thanks again to that guy. He's as good as they get with when it comes. He's good people, man. But going off of what he said, let's talk a little bit about what's going on at Green Tree the past few days. I mean, I've talked to some people that are there. I talked to Gabby and I talked to some other guys, and I'm hearing I know that we're not trying to build that hype train too much, but like De'Ara King, bro, like he's the real deal. Like he's good, man. Like I think he's gonna be better than a lot of people even think.
Dude, for sure, bro. I'm hearing the same thing. The word that comes to mind is legit. The guy has great accuracy on the run, I've heard. I mean, and what I like the most about him is he's already taking control of the huddle. I think one or two guys said in their post interview after practice that like just the way he comes in a huddle and demands the respect, man. It's been a long time since we've had a quarterback that comes in here and just demands the respect from the players and actually gets it and wants to be the quarterback for the Miami Hurricanes. And I think we really got ourselves a gem.
Dude, I hope so, man. I mean, I just wish we could keep him around a little bit, dude. Maybe we have to make him like an athletic director or something after this season.
He just says, "Screw the NFL. I'm just gonna be the next AD at Miami."
Or you could just go to Florida and just say, "Screw it," and go to the XFL and then get cut, right? By the XFL.
Yeah.
Oh, that's savage right there. I honestly like I know he's like a little undersized, but I'm honestly like a little surprised that we haven't heard like anything about him with the NFL draft next year. I haven't heard, like, I mean, because you hear about, like, guys like Gregory Rousseau or Brevin or those guys. Like, I haven't heard a single thing about D'Eriq.
I heard he's shorter than Tate, dude. Like,
he is. He's, I mean, he that's why, I mean, that's why I said, like, he's not a, I mean, that's definitely probably one of the biggest hacks on him, is that he's not a tall guy. And everyone, like, says, oh, but Drew Brees is short or something like that. Not every short quarterback turns out to be Drew Brees.
Yeah, he's like in the top five all time, dude.
Definitely. Yeah. I think a lot of people are forget as well, as he didn't play most of the year last year. So I mean, NFL experts are kind of also looking at, like, his only year he had was almost, what, 2 years ago when he was a Heisman candidate, and then he didn't really play much last year. So it's kind of like the Jalen Phillips scenario, except Jalen Phillips just hasn't really proven at all.
Yeah.
Well, and then that's the next guy I want to talk about, because I mean, there's probably Jalen Phillips, I think, I don't even know if there's a close second, but that guy's probably got more publicity and more hype around him after the first 3 days than anyone. The dude, I will gladly admit when I'm proven wrong, because I was very skeptical about Jalen going in, and obviously we have to wait until, you know, they start playing other teams, but dude gained 40 pounds, and one of the reports said yesterday or 2 days ago that he's literally unblockable, and that there's an article put out, and they said that how Miami has two first-round defensive ends on it, and it's Gregory Rousseau and Jalen Phillips. Like, no, and they didn't even mention Quincy Roche until later, and so I don't know, man. Like, I think he's in for a really big season, and he'll be back next year too.
Yep. Well, yep. That is unless he plays so well he gets drafted. But
dude, yeah, I'm right there with you as well, Marshman. I was one of those guys that was skeptical about him, especially once we signed him. Like you saw, like, the before and after picture of him on Twitter. I mean, when he first got to us, he was a really skinny, brim defensive end. I mean, he had the hype around him, but I was skeptical on the injuries. And then, I mean, when he started dropping out mixtapes and songs, I was even more skeptical. I was like, oh, I don't know if he could rap or play football. And then, I mean, now he's definitely, like you said, gained all that weight. And one thing I saw was that he blew past Nelson twice. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for us. But another cool thing I saw in the interview was that they tried – I see a lot of not only Kane fans but other rival fans when I bring up Jalen Phillips, they try to compare it to the Hill situation. And one thing I thought that was interesting was that Hill missed most of spring, where Jalen Phillips is coming in for the whole spring and already went through that conditioning. So I think he might have a step up over Hill, where it might actually work out in our benefit a little bit earlier than what Hill did.
Oh, absolutely. And I think I think Hill missed all of spring, and he came in like late summer. Yep. That's why we didn't really see him crack the starting lineup like until like weeks 6 or 7, just because dude wasn't in like game shape or football shape. And that's not just the thing with Jalen Phillips, it's also the thing with Quincy Roche. Like, we're getting him early, we're getting him in spring ball, and so they're going to be adjusted to you know, just being in shape and also the defense. But yeah, Jalen Phillips is probably the biggest takeaway for me so far. Another thing that I was talking to someone today, won't reveal his name, but he talked a little bit about Mark Pope, and that he's struggling to get the grasp of the Rhett Lashley offense so far, and which kind of concerns me a little bit. I mean, I'm skeptical on Pope. I don't want to say skeptical, but I've just been kind of the more wait and see guy with Pope, as opposed to everyone else who just, oh, dude, I mean, he was like almost a 5-star kid. And I don't know, what are your guys' thoughts on that? What do you think, Jordan?
Considering that Will Mallory said that it only took 15 minutes to learn the phone, pretty worrisome, bro. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If 15 minutes and Pope can't get it at all, then I don't know. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little concerning to me. I mean, Mark Pope was one of those guys that I think we all thought like you guys said, I mean, five star. He's like one of the only five stars on the team, I'm pretty sure. And he has yet to pop into the scene like we thought he would. But hearing guys like Daz Worsham's route running, Cliff talking about Xavier Restrepo's quick and shiftiness, reminding him of a Edelman type. And then like you guys were hyped on him, man. And now I got to say, dude, I am definitely on the bandwagon of Keyshawn, man. That kid is going to blow up. I think you're going to see a lot of him, and Jeremiah Payton is going to have a big year. And then based off those videos, man, I think De'Aaron King already has his go-to receiver in Wiggins.
Well, and I mean, if Pope's not careful, like his spot could be taken. I think I honestly wouldn't be surprised if our three receivers going into September 5th is Wiggins, Harley, and Payton instead of Pope as that third guy. And Harley is another guy that I've heard is like tearing it up. Like I'm a big fan of Mike Harley. I think he gets overlooked a lot just because of the hype around Pope and Wiggins and also Payton on the come up. I think Harley is a guy that he started to finally break out last year, and dude, he's fast, bro. Like that dude can run, and he's a good veteran person to have on the team and also in the wide receiver room. And so I'm just saying, like, don't sleep on Mike Harley.
Yeah, no, I mean, he had a good last
for sure.
He's our returning leading receiver. Actually, it might have been Brevin, huh? But, you know, in the wide receiver room, Harley is the leader in returning yards. And the opportunity's there. And like you were saying, you're worried about Pope. When I was talking to Cliff on the phone earlier, he was actually a little more enthusiastic about Restrepo than he was on the podcast. You know, I think he toned it down a little. But, dude, I'm worried that Pope might be behind Harley and Restrepo. And, you know, he needs to show out or else he can lose his spot.
Yeah, for sure. I think hopefully Harley doesn't focus more on being like the vet in the wide receiver room, because I think that's also he's playing a big role in that as well. Like Marsh was saying, one thing we are missing with KJ being gone is that vet and that leader in the wide receiver room. And I think he pretty much knows that it's his time to control that room. But I don't, like you said, man, I don't know if he's going to get passed up by some of these young guys.
Yeah, and I don't know, but he could. Like I say that a little, and people are like, I don't know, Marsh, but I'm like, just wait and see. I mean, I hope that he breaks out. I hope that he, you know, becomes who we all think that he can be. But I feel like that's I'm trying to think if there's anything else on the offense that needs to talk about. Jason Blissett apparently is trying out defensive end. He's a guy from defensive tackle. He's a guy that I'm pretty high on that. I think he could kind of make some plays this year and be in that second rotation for defensive tackles. I think he could be lined up next to Jordan Miller as that second rotation. But apparently he's moving to defensive end, which is a little strange just because we have about 25 defensive ends right now. So I don't know. That's just a thought for me. What do you, Brad, you got anything on that?
I was more interested actually in our guy Jalar Holly twerking into the starting rotation. I mean, usually he's twerking on the sidelines, but I've heard that he's getting some reps at D tackle, like actually first second rotation. So I mean, I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign that maybe Blissett is moving over to DN. But I mean, worst case scenario, we're gonna be two or three deep at DN and D tackle, it looks like.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about that. You know, I mean, it could be a few things. I mean, it could be that some of the younger guys, man, we have so many Williams at D end, like Chance and Cam, and who's the other? Don't we have another Williams at D end?
You know, yes, maybe, we have Quint Williams, but I don't think he's gotten on campus yet.
Okay, yeah, so you know, maybe those guys aren't ready yet. It could be that. Maybe they're thinking that Phillips is going to have a good enough year that he's only here for one season. And so, you know, just have some depth and experience after we get three guys leaving, if that happens. You know, I mean, I don't know what to think about it, but it is kind of curious because we do need more depth at DT, you know, D tackle.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, DT, I think I'm really excited to see what Nesta does. I just hope that he can stay healthy the whole year, because I think a lot of people are down on Nesta just because, I mean, his first 2 years haven't really matched his mouth at times. I mean, the dude like was injured for half of last year, and before that he was behind guys like Gerald Willis, things like that. I think Nesta's in for a huge year. I really, really like John Ford, and I think Jordan Miller is another really, really solid defensive tackle, and we're kind of just waiting on that, like who's the next guy to fall in line for defensive tackle. And there's a plethora of redshirt freshmen at that position. So but yeah, really kind of surprised that they're trying Blissett at defensive end. But I mean, besides that, I've just heard solid things about the defense, man. I heard that Christian Williams and Ta'Cory Couch are, you know, pushing Al Blades Jr. and DJ Ivy for that starting cornerback spot. And Bubba Bolden's coming along sooner than we expected, and he's coming along real nice. And so defense, I don't have right now. I honestly don't have any concerns. Is that, I don't know if that's cocky to say, but I don't worry about our defense at all.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Especially hearing that Avery Huff is having a great spring, at least so far. That makes me feel good, because we have plenty of talent at linebacker. It's just health and experience is the worry. I'm still worried about the number of bodies we have at corner. I'm glad that Christian Williams is playing good and Ta'Cory Couch is playing good, but you know, that's kind of the only guys that I'm expecting. Like, we only have four dudes that I'm kind of expecting to get like serious burn this year, you know, and that's kind of worrisome. But it sounds like the talent at least is there, you know.
Yeah. Don't forget Jordan, former Florida Gator commit Vontae Williams too.
Yeah.
Oh, we will never ever forget about him.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was a actual commit for Florida, but they sure thought so. they whiffed on him, just like who was it, Silver the other day, something like that.
Yeah.
Then they just whiff on another guy.
They always got something going on up there. But yeah, don't even get me started on Avante, because I'll just start going off for like I feel the same way about it. Like, I feel the same way about Avante as I do about Jalen Knight. And I think those two guys are going to be I think they're both going to contribute as freshmen. And I think like they are future superstars. And I'm really happy that that Cliff gave me a shout out when talking about Rooster too, because I think that kid is going to be like just an absolute stud for the Canes for the next several years at running back.
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, cause I agreed with you. I had him pegged as the number two back, and you know, I said that I think he could get up to 400 rushing yards. I think we'll use him a lot in the passing game. I think he'll get, you know, some all freshman team ACC love. But man, you just, your love for Roosters at a different level than mine, bro. So I knew that you'd be pumped when I was hearing that. I was like, oh man, Marsh is going to love this dude.
And I was talking to Cliff earlier today, and Knight, he looks bigger. He looks just put together. And, I gotta tell you, I'm just like, I was really excited about this freshman class just like going into the spring ball, but like I'm like they're like exceeding my expectations right now, especially the wide receivers. Like, and Keisha, our boy Keyshawn Smith, like that kid is going to surprise a lot of people. I mean, he's already doing it, but kid was the steal of the 2020 recruiting class, and like he's going to do really good things for the Canes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. I think he's definitely gonna be a fan favorite. And like I said earlier with Cliff, man, Coach Feely is putting in that work. You want to talk? I mean, our freshman guys are super talented, but not only our freshman guys, but it just seems like all of our guys are starting to like mold and actually look like a college football player. Just their body and size, their transformation within months. Like we touched on Jalen Phillips gaining all this weight. I think someone said the other day that Xavier Restrepo is up to like 202 pounds. Did I read that correctly?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, the strength and conditioning, man. I mean, these these guys are definitely in shape, especially with this up-tempo pace. Now it's like everybody, it's either you're going to be in shape and or you're going to get lost. I mean, there's only a couple guys I'm a little worried about still with this fast pace, but I can honestly say, man, I think we're going in the right direction. I'm not in any way ready to put my crystal ball in and we're going to go to the playoffs or anything like that, but I think we actually have a good staff now.
I read an article the other day that's saying that anything less than 10 wins will be a tragedy. And that's just insane to think about. Like, not even three, like, just over 2 months ago, we lost 14-0 in the Independence Bowl, and now everyone anything less than 10 wins is just will be insane. And that scares me a little, just because of the past and what's happening in past seasons. But the biggest thing to me is that we have a quarterback, and that solves so many issues that we've had to overcome like the past 3 years. So
you're right on with that, bro. And I mean, I don't even know what to think, because like my logical brain agrees with you, Marsh, but jeez, dude, I just get so hyped thinking about Rhett Lashley, Derek King, and I mean the 13th defense. Oh man, I mean, you guys need to keep me away from a microphone if we start predicting stuff, because
dude, even Cam Harris earlier talking about we should average at least 35 points a game, dude. That alone got me hyped. I mean, the fans were saying it all the time when we got the Rhett Lashley hire, but now hearing it from the actual players. Yeah. After getting coached by the guy for only a couple weeks, man, it's got the potential. I mean, we've always had the talent. It's the matter of putting the talent together and coaching these kids the right way and not losing these fluke games in conference every single year. I mean, we discuss this almost every single season before the season starts. When we look at our schedule and we look at who's on our roster, there's no reason why we should not be in the ACC championship every year.
Yeah. Well, if we do average 35 points a game, we're going 10-2 at least, probably.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Like, if we get 35 points a game, like, I don't see our defense giving up more than 24, 25 points to anyone on the schedule. It shouldn't happen. Like, I think there was like one game last year where we allowed more than like 30 points. Yeah. Like that, it's
the three first quarter interceptions, you know?
Yeah. And it wasn't all our defense's fault, but trying to think, is there anything else that we need to go over that's going on?
The only thing I could really think of is the other addition that we just had earlier a couple days ago of the recruiting personal assistant, Terry Jefferson.
Okay, I don't know anything about him. Do you, Brad?
The only thing I really know much about him is I know he was a safety at FAMU last season. He played at Booker T. Washington. I think Chad Thomas and the DN D'Eric. Demetrius Jackson, yes. Yeah. Those two guys know him pretty well. I know he relates to the kids in the city a lot, so it's just another young guy that's going to have ties to all these local kids. So I definitely believe it was a hire strictly for recruiting, but that's really all I really know much about.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. I mean, I don't know anything about him either, but, I mean, that sounds cool.
Yeah, I mean, it can't hurt. Jordan, do you have anything else that we need to go over?
No, I mean, I just think we could tell everyone about our candy and soda addictions again, but I
they already know that's a thing. They already know that we have a problem, but I mean it was a good I can't, unless something horrible happens on Friday, like good first week of spring practice. I think they're off next week just because it's spring break, but I mean, I got nothing left to say. I think it's all been covered pretty thoroughly.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty much it. But I do want to say thank you to Brad. You know what?
So when Marsh was thinking that he couldn't get on, Brad, you know, was very quick to jump in and offer to fill in. And, you know, we love having you on. So appreciate it, bro. We love having you.
Hey, man. Anytime, man. I look forward to everything you guys got in store in the future. You guys know I'm always here for you guys if you guys ever need help. And spring game is right around the corner, so we will sure to be celebrating.
Yeah.
Dude, absolutely. Yeah, we love you, Brad. And freaking we got some things cooking for the spring game weekend. Jordan and I will both be in South Florida, and definitely look forward to linking up with you, Brad, and the rest of Canes fans. So everyone stay tuned for what we got going on.
Yeah, it's gonna be some good stuff. I'm pumped. So I was telling Cliff a little bit about our plans. You know, we can't let him out yet because it's not solidified. But just to check the temperature of the fan base, you know, I was telling Cliff what might happen, and he was hyped, dude. So, you know.
Hey, I like that.
Yeah. So I hope it all works out, bro, because we got some good stuff.
For sure, man. Thanks again for having me, fellas. And special shout out to Armando and his wife on the 15-year anniversary, man. Congrats to you guys, and my condolences to Brett and the Canesware family.
Absolutely. Yeah, we love Mondo. I love Mondo. I call him Big Bro on Twitter. Can't wait to see him again. Congrats to them, and definitely condolences to the Canesware family. And we're thinking about you and praying about you, and appreciate the support and God is gonna take care of all of us. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. For sure, man.
Yeah, Phil. Well, it was a good show, guys. I hope you have a good weekend. And dude, man, I'm counting the date until April 10th or 11th, whenever we're meeting up. So.
Absolutely. Go Canes, everyone.
Go Canes.
Go Canes.
This has been the Forza Podcast. Remember to like.